Hello and welcome to another DLRP Roundup. Today we're going to talk about the returning show The Lion King Rhythms of Pride Lands, which is going to be at the Frontierland Theatre. We spoke about this show last year when it debuted at Disneyland Paris, also in the Frontierland Theatre. This year, obviously, there's been a global pandemic and a couple of things that have got in the way. However, you can reserve your place in line to view the show via the Line Bertie app. That's the app that everybody had a little bit of problem with when they had to book characters through it. And the show begins in 2 days from when I record this, which is August 15th, 2020. And once again, you will be able to see the show in all its glory. The following information comes from the show director, who is Christophe Leclerc, and he spoke to Inside Ears about this season's show and its updates. And when I say he spoke to Inside Ears, I should say rather the questions were posed and he responded to them in text. So unfortunately we don't have Christophe's voice here, or otherwise I'd play it. But it is useful to get an update on what's happening in the show this year versus what was happening last year. It is probably the pinnacle show. It is probably the best show that Disneyland Paris do. They've spent a lot of money on this. They've refurbished the theatre and they've taken a lot of pride in doing it in a Lion King show. The show is not based on the Broadway or the West End versions. It is also not based on the Florida version either. So it is its own show and it stands in its own right. They've created it by themselves. It isn't the same as the one that used to be in Disneyland Paris. It is a completely new show and a new take on The Lion King. So the first question that was posed to Christophe was, what is your assessment of The Lion King Rhythm of Pride Lands from last summer? And he said, it was a great pleasure to create this show, even more so in an entirely new place, the new Frontierland Theatre. But at the same time, it was a very tall order. Artists and technicians worked very hard to ensure that everything was in place, on time, and the show could run smoothly all summer long. Thanks to the talent and efforts of all, the first season was a great success and we are delighted. During the lockdown, many of our productions, including The Lion King, The Rhythm of Pride Lands, were put online as part of the Disneyland Paris watch parties. I read many of the comments and I could see the huge impact our show has on the audience. Building on this success, I told myself that for its second run, we had to go even further and make it even more moving and immersive. There's a couple of things in that answer, and this is where I'm now. This is not Christophe now, this is Graham again. And we're going to have a little look here. You can see there that they were obviously up against the time deadline, given the fact they're saying that they struggled a little bit to make it run smoothly and make sure it worked. So obviously the first time you run a show, there is obviously the potential that it may go wrong. So it's interesting that they've confirmed there that they kind of, you know, some things were not as smooth, and I think that came across in the fact that there was very clearly two different casts that you could watch in the show. And, you know, I'm not saying any of them were bad, but there was certainly a better cast and a not so good cast. So it's interesting that they've kind of confirmed that everything was not perfect and they've been working on this to make it even better for this year. You can also see that they put it online and it was wildly received. And it's interesting that, you know, the show director has stopped and read the comments, because I think that's a great thing for them to actually do, is to see what other people are saying and believing about their show. So how did you do it, Christophe? And he says, I reviewed the entire production step by step, each time challenging myself. What if we change the way this singer arrives on stage? What if this painting? What if the dancers arrive later? What if we change the acrobatics? I took the time to think it over and over, and then I discussed it with everyone on the team. So what changes have you made to the show, Christophe? I wanted to be even more intense than last year, focusing the attention on the singers, both in terms of direction and lighting. For example, in the Circle of Life number, at the time of Rafiki's call, we had the dancers present from the start on the set. Now things are much more progressive, a bit like in the movie. We start with Rafiki, and we add more and more characters around him. Dancers, musicians, acrobats to gain momentum. We added a lot of lighting material to the set, and reworked the entire show with Tim Lutkin. He was famously the lighting designer for Mickey the Magician and the Marvel Super Heroes United and the Frozen musical Invitation, to bring an even more theatrical dimension. I'm going to cut in again just to point out that this is really good, because if they're focusing more attention on the singers, that was the bit that it kind of felt like the show had been put together and there hadn't been much time spent on the singers. The lighting, I would say, was very, very good, and I remember being blown away by how good it is. But at the same time, Mickey and the Magician has a very dark and has a very verbose lighting that kind of illuminates through almost kind of, it's picked out quite well and feels more like a musical theatre than it does a typical sort of Disneyland Paris show. I would also say Marvel Super Heroes United carries that through because, again, if you remember the lighting configuration in that theatre, it uses the whole space, including the ceiling and the side walls and everything like that. So it's very interesting to hear that Tim Lutkin has been involved in this, and it'll be interesting to see what sort of new things come from that. Now, obviously, there's no footage yet, and I'm sure it'll be online on the first day, but there's no footage from that yet, so it'll be interesting to see that. So, Christoph, what other surprises did you have in store for us? Well, for example, be prepared. We rethought the arrival of the hyenas, who will magically appear in the middle of the set, and for the Shadowlands, the character entrances are so much more dramatic to underline their emotions when they discover the savannah devastated by Scar and the hyenas. Their nude intensity is also expressed through the choreographies, which we reworked with Kathy Amatua, who is with us for the second run. She also helped us review the position on stage to respect the physical distances to avoid any contact between dancers. This is where I'll cut back in. Again, we're still in the middle of a pandemic, and it feels quite funny we're talking about how we improve a show, develop a show, but at the same time, we're going to keep that magical distance between dancers, and we're going to have to comply, obviously, with the new normal that we find ourselves in. So, Christoph, you said the show is also more immersive. We did quite a lot of work remixing the music. We remixed all the tracks in the studio with an audio designer, then doing a new mix in the theatre itself. During rehearsal with the singers, they were blown away. The whole soundtrack has been cleaned up, and you can now hear the instruments that you didn't hear in the first version. From there, we developed even more dramatic sounds. The more we advance in the show, the more immersive the sound becomes. On some sound effects and some backing vocals, notably in Shadowlands, it really envelops the audience and intensifies until the final cover of Circle of Life. I can assure you, it will give you goosebumps. Other equally immersive surprises await the viewers, but I'll let you discover them all. Again, this just comes from the start. They were obviously up against it. They're trying very, very hard to make sure this show is better this year. Christoph, one of the strengths of the show is exceptional cast. How did you put it together for this season? We're fortunate to be able to do our casting well in advance in October, November of last year for singers, dancers and acrobats. Almost half of the original cast returns this year because they really wanted to continue the adventure with us. As for the rest, we had all the joy of discovering new and exciting talents in France and London. In the end, we are at the same or even higher level than last year in all trades. The talent and personality of these artists inspire to make certain changes. Absolutely. For example, in acrobatics, we've modified the chart, I Just Can't Wait to Be King. We decided to add a new piece of equipment, a tilting mast. On each side of the stage, behind the articulated mast, we will also have a soloist who will perform stunts and climb up to 6 metres high. It's interesting, when you see half the cast, I wonder if we just got rid of the second cast. I maybe shouldn't say that, but I wonder what happened there. What was the atmosphere in the rehearsals, Christoph? The atmosphere is excellent. Of course, we're all very vigilant about health and safety measures, but the artists are really happy to be there and really happy to express themselves. They're excited to return to work and be part of the Lion King family, because that is really how we work with a family spirit. And finally, Christoph, what is your favourite moment in the show? The transition from Busa to the cover of the Circle of Life is a moment when tears come to my eyes every time. There's just something about it. I felt it on the premiere day last year, heightened by the fact everyone in the room jumped up to a stand ovation. It was overwhelming. Is it because it's Lion King, the Circle of Life, or is it because everyone is in this universal story? I couldn't tell you, but even today, in rehearsal or mixing the music in the theatre, the magic returns every time. It's fantastic to hear, actually, now that I cut back in and we have nothing more from Christoph at this point. It's fantastic to hear they're really taking some of the comments on board, that they're working on the sound, because again, at times it can be a bit quiet and possibly not filling the whole set that was there. We also have the added bonus that they've remixed some of the tracks and some of the lighting. So I think we're going to see a fantastic reimagining of the show that we had last year, and I'm very excited to see it. With any luck, I'll be able to go across Disneyland Paris and see it. However, it's one of those things where there's an ongoing situation. I don't know if Scotland's going to allow me to go to Disneyland Paris or not. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that without quarantine. And who knows, we could all be vaccinated next month. It's one of those odd things. But I can tell you one thing. I'm very, very excited for this show. And I really really didn't enjoy queuing for it, but I really, really enjoyed the show when I got in. So the nice thing is, if it's on the Line 30 app, I almost don't see it as a bad thing, because I'll be able to go and see the show now without having to stand in that awful long queue. Although I'd imagine it's going to be capacity constrained, so I hope Disneyland Paris have put on double the amount of shows or have done something to make sure we can see it. It opens in 2 days, and I am exceedingly excited to find out what people think. I've been Graham, and that's been a roundup. Goodbye.